रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः। बालकांड चैप्टर नंबर 6, द डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ दशरथ। द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ। एंड फ्रॉम दिस सिटी द किंग दशरथ रेन ओवर हिज पीपल wisely and well, even as Manu, the divine ruler of men. Wonderfully strong and hardy, he combined in himself the utmost grace and beauty of form. With his senses under perfect restraint and of subdued self, his innate glory was but thinly veiled by his vesture of flesh. He was one of the noblest kings that ever reigned, and Atirata amongst those that came of the mighty line of Ikshvaku. He was a terror of his foes and the joy of his friends and subjects, and his name and fame were household words in all the worlds, high and low. They that seek a saint laud him for holiness of life and spiritual fervor, and in his untold wealth of corn and grain, golden gems, silk and wool, he rivaled Indra, the monarch of the gods, or Kubera, the lord of riches. Profoundly conversant with every art and science of his age, lay or clerical, his joy lived in the wheel of his kingdom. By liberal gifts, he attracted to himself the best and brightest of the land in the arts of war and peace, ever on the watch for an opportunity to extend his dominions, enlarge his armaments, and increase the strength of his fortresses and garrisons. He was a past master of kingcraft, and his schemes always read into the far future and anticipated the results. Numerous sacrifices did he celebrate, and he never tired of providing for the welfare and comfort of his subjects by countless works of public utility or recreation. Straight of heart and truthful of speech, he ever pursued the four aims of life at the right time and without clash. In a word, Indra the mighty ruled not over his heavenly realm with greater glory or ability. And they to whom it was given to reside in the best of cities were ever just and happy, generous and broad-hearted, truth-speaking and contented, and well-versed in every traditional lore and legend. You may search the city from end to end and never come across anyone of limited means, poor in his stores of grain and corn, horses and cattle, for poverty was a thing unknown amongst them. Nor can you see anyone but was dressed in garments bright and clean, and was adorned with earrings and necklaces, wreath and garlands, perfumes and flowers, chain and bracelet. An atheist or an unlettered man, or one of cruel instincts, or a sensualist, or an egoist, was sight unknown in that fair capital of King Dashrath. There was none who put his love of lucre before self and duty, father and mother, wife and child, brother and friend. All were godly in spirit, self-controlled, of clean lives and generous impulses, and like unto the sages of yore, in utter purity of their lives. Nor could you lay a finger upon anyone who was hunger-worn, or low-spirited, or gloomy of soul, or mean of nature. Nor could your eye rest upon anyone who cast longing looks of his neighbor's goods or goodly wife. Nor was the place defiled by a thief or a liar or an envious man or a deformed person or ugly. Nor did the walls shelter anyone who was not the soul of loyalty, nor anyone who knew not the means to secure his happiness here and hereafter, nor anyone who sacrificed not to the gods and to the holy fires. The Brahmanas there embodied in themselves the loftiest ideals of the nation, and in their rigid discharge of the complicated round of duties, led the way for the other classes to follow, studying and teaching, giving and receiving, undefiled by any sin that attaches thereunto. They counted amongst them none who did not tend to the holy sacrificial fires, nor keep the observances and vows, nor anyone who had not mastered the Vedas and its six branches. The other orders of society were ever brave and truthful and righteous, kind and hospitable to the wayworn and the homeless, devout and reverential unto the beings on high, ever grateful for the kindnesses done and received. The days were long and happy in the midst of their friends and relations, wives and children, sons and grandsons, even unto the furthest remove. The water caste was ever fain to render due obedience to the counsel and behest of the Brahmanas. The Vaishyas were proud to honor and obey the ruling class, and the Shudras, the tillers of the soil, never swerved from their rule of life, but ever offered humble and cheerful service to their superiors. Brave men and true ever kept watch and ward over the place. Frank and open as a child, yet of terrible might, quick to feel and swift to retaliate, adept in the use of every weapon and grown gray in the art of war, they were the heroes of 100 fights. And even as a lofty mountain cave guarded by fierce lions, was this fair city rendered unassailable through the lion-hearted veterans who fought and won or lay with faces grim, turned still in death towards the despised foe, such his troops. Horses had he, millions of them of noblest breed, drawn from the mountain fastness of Balik, Cambodia, or Vanayu, or from the sandy wastes of Sindh. Matchless, they stood for grace and speed, even as the Ucchesrevas, the horse that Indra bestrides. The forests of the Vindhya and the heights of the Himalayas supplied him with rare elephants. Of the stock of Airavata they came, of Mahapadma, of Anjana, and of Vamana. Of vast bulk and height, they were ever in rut, like hills in motion. Bhadra, Mandra, Mriga, Bhadra Mandra, Bhadra Mriga, and Mriga Mandra, every species was represented in his stables. The terror of his well-appointed army allowed no enemy to approach within leagues of his capital and made it worthy of the name she bore, the Impregnable. And like unto Indra in might and glory, or even as a silvery moon among the distant stars, did Dashrata, the unconquered, rule over that fair maiden city, strong in its fortifications and garrisons, and bright with its noble buildings and nobler men. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunabde Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.